This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Because it's so difficult to adopt babies in the U.S., many would-be parents go to China to adopt. In fact, in the past 15 years, over 62,000 children, mostly girls, have been adopted by Americans. Two of those girls were adopted by my guest Jeff Gamage and his wife. Gamage is a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's written a new book called China Ghosts, My Daughter's Journey to America, My Passage to Fatherhood. The book also looks at the larger phenomenon of Chinese adoptions. The phenomenon dates back to China's one-child policy, which is implemented in the 1980s to control surging birth rates. Because Chinese culture places a premium on sons, Chinese orphanages were overwhelmed with unwanted girls. China has loosened its one-child policy. If a family's first child is a daughter, they're now allowed to keep her and try again for a son. Recently, the Chinese government imposed new regulations on international adoptions. Single people wanting to adopt are no longer welcome. There are height, weight, and age restrictions, and you can't be on antidepressants. A few weeks before my guest Jeff Gamage and his wife traveled to China to meet the girl that would become their daughter, they were given a photo of her. I asked him about the significance that photo took on.
It took on vast significance. We'd been imagining our child for so long. And when we had her picture, it just, we put it up everywhere. And Christine and I, my wife, we had constant conversations. It was our only source of conversation was, what is this girl like? What is she doing now? Is she playing with a friend? Is she getting enough to eat? What is she thinking? Does she know that we're coming?
So what was it like to see her for the first time? After this one photo, was all you knew of her for over a year?
Well, for most of that year, we didn't even have a photo. I mean, it wasn't until 5 weeks before we traveled that we were given a photograph and the name of our daughter and the location of the institute where she was living. When we met her in person, it was stunning. It was stunning because we had imagined her for so long. It was like bumping into a celebrity on the street, and you sort of, you've always seen them in your mind or on the movie screen or in pictures in a magazine, but now you see them in three dimensions, and they're real, and they're in front of you. And Jin Yu, I immediately saw that she was smaller than we expected. She was very thin. Her legs were sticks. She had sort of a cut on her forehead and a mark on her cheek, and she was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen.
Now, you mentioned that when you adopted your oldest daughter, Jin Yu, that she had a cut on her forehead and a scar on her cheek. So the what was going on her forehead near her scalp is what really worried you when you found it. Would you describe what you saw?
When Jin Yu came to us, she was very internal. She was silent and still. And that's not good. It happens sometimes, but usually when the girls come to their new families, they're very upset. They cry, they scream, they act out. And that's actually a good thing because it shows that the child has attached to the caretakers, that the child has the ability to attach and will attach to the new parent. Jin Yu made no sound. She was very still and silent and did not respond to us. And then in our hotel room, after we received her, we found that she had, it doesn't do it justice to call it a scar. It was an injury or a wound on the side of her head that went from her temple to down behind her ear. And we thought she had suffered some kind of traumatic head injury. And at that moment, we sort of saw all our dreams of parenthood and all we imagined and wished for this girl just slipping away, just disintegrating in front of our eyes.
Because you thought?
We thought she had some sort of severe head injury, and that was the reason that she was not speaking or moving or talking.
Well, you might have thought at that point, oh, we wanted a healthy daughter. We were told we were getting a healthy daughter. So we're going to make an exchange.
People around us were making noises about an exchange, but Christine and I felt like this was our daughter. When we were first referred our child, we were expecting a baby. Everyone was saying the requirements that we had met, China sort of characterizes you by age and children in the home and prior marriages, that we were going to get a baby. And we got a two-year-old. So the big question was, well, can we parent a two-year-old? And we said, well, yeah, we can. So that was our point of decision. Whatever came afterwards in terms of Jin Yu's health or abilities, we felt like we'd signed on for that, and we would just have to do the best we could for each other.
Well, you took her to a Chinese doctor in China. What did the doctor have to say?
Not a lot. The doctor said she examined Jin Yu, and she looked at the side of her head, and she ran her through some rudimentary tests for balance and cognition and hand-eye coordination. And she felt that she was okay, that she had not suffered a brain injury, that this was an injury on the outside of her head. And she suggested that it could have come from an infection. In summer, Hunan is scalding in the summer, and the children sweat. And the doctor suggested to us that perhaps she got a bug bite and she scratched it. And as more dirt and sweat came into the wound, it became infected, and that the skin continued to expand and contract and boil and fester, and that this is what caused this scar and this injury. I'm not sure if that's correct. It certainly didn't make me feel any better.
No, because if it's festering like that and they allow it to keep festering, that would be terrible.
Exactly.
So you took her to an American doctor when you got home.
Yes, Leslie Sood, a very fine doctor.
And what was her diagnosis?
She didn't really have one. Leslie has a Chinese daughter of her own, too, now, and she's highly experienced in what can happen to children in orphanages. And I felt like Leslie sort of gave me the hard and unvarnished truth. And what she said was that Jin Yu was fine. She had suffered no traumatic head injury, but there are things that happen in orphanages to children, and you're just never going to get the answer, that the information is simply lost. It's not recorded. You're never going to know what happened to this child, and you're going to have to find a way to live with it.
So how well did she heal?
Very slowly, not completely. That scar will be with Jin Yu the rest of her life.
Does hair grow around it?
It does. She'll be able to cover it when she wishes.
And is it traumatic to her?
She is asked about it. She's asked if other children have one. And she's asked how it got there. And like so much of what we say to our daughter, the answer is, I don't know.
Did it scare you a lot, the thought that you might be taking on parenting responsibility for a two-year-old who could have brain damage? You know, when you thought that was a possibility, you know, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of people who get pregnant and have amniocentesis decide to abort if they find that there's some kind of severe, brain malfunction or deficiency. So did you think like this is going to change our lives? This has the potential of changing our lives in ways we're completely unprepared for, and we don't want. We would never have signed up for this.
We did think that, but it was scarier in the abstract than it was in real life. Presented with those facts, would you care for a two-year-old child with traumatic brain injury who you know is going to live out her life mostly bedridden in your home and you will care for her 24 hours a day? The answer is, I could never do that. Faced with Jin Yu standing before us, this child who we had wished and longed for, there was no question in our mind that whatever came, she was coming home with us.
And it turns out she was fine.
And it turns out she was fine. Mm-hmm, she sort of slowly emerged. It was almost like she was coming up from underwater. By the end of I think we were 16 days in China, and by the end of that, she was not outgoing, but she was at least comfortable. She was moving. She was talking. She was accepting food from us. She had begun to blossom.
You adopted a second daughter from China. When you went to China the second time around, did you do things any differently? And did you go with a different, you know, emotional mindset than you did the first time around? Because you were experienced the second time around.
Our second trip was very different, mostly because we had been through a first adoption. We knew it was going to work out. We now had confidence in the system and its ability to deliver our daughter to us. The first time, we were hoping it would work out. The second time, we knew it would work out. The second time, we traveled to Lanzhou, China, which is way out west. It sits in Gansu province. It's north of the Tibetan Plateau and just south of the Gobi Desert. It's very remote. And it was fascinating to see that part of China, but the trip was so easy, and Zhaogu was only 11 months old when she came to us. She was still a baby. Her period of mourning lasted about 45 minutes, I would say, and then she was completely with the program and eager to be with us. The second trip was like a vacation with a prize at the end.
Would you like your daughters to at some point know who their birth parents were? You know, if it was possible to find that out, and it probably isn't, but if it was.
I definitely would. If they wanted it, this was completely Jinyu's decision and Zhaogu's decision. If they wanted me to help them try to find their birth parents, I would. I hope they will. I think everybody has questions about who I am, where did I come from. I expect my daughters will have those questions. I think in the future it might become easier if China continues to open and change. There's no saying what might happen. There could be some sort of DNA data bank where the girls and their parents could register and they could find each other that way. I think a lot about Jinyu's parents and Zhaogu's parents, the Chinese parents, and what they must have gone through and what they go through now, what it must be like for them to have to wonder every day about this child that they lost. And if I could, I would just like to let them know that these children are fine. They're healthy. They're happy. They're loved. So whether it's Jinyu or I or somebody else who brings them that news someday, I would like for them to get that.
We should say when you started this adventure of going to China the first time to adopt your first child, you didn't even particularly want to be a father.
I did not want to be a father at all. I didn't think I'd be a very good one. It wasn't a job I was interested in.
Yeah, why not? Why didn't you want to be a father?
It's hard to articulate, but I didn't. I felt I was doing things that I enjoyed, that I had all this free time, that my life was one of going to Phillies games whenever I wished and Eagles games and movies on the weekends, and Christine and I could go out to dinner at moment's notice and we could travel the world if we liked. We had a very nice life. I did not see any need to interrupt that life with the demands that I knew a child would impose.
So were you becoming a father basically to please your wife?
Yes. Christine wanted children, and my wife has always done for me, and I felt that if this is what she really wants, then she should have it. And we attempted to have biological children. We could not. And then we moved on to adoption.
So what changed your mind about being a father and made you actually really happy with the idea?
I don't know that I was really happy with the idea until we got Jinyu. I was accepting of the idea and willing to give it a go. But until we got Jinyu and I could see her and see how funny she is and how good she is and how smart and what a joy she is and see how lucky I am to have her in my life and her sister in my life, that's when I really felt that I could be a dad and I could maybe be a good one.
You write in your book, it's disorienting to discover that the thing I never wanted, a child, is actually what makes me happiest. Why do you find that disorienting?
Because it makes me question everything else, that all the other opinions that I so firmly hold. If I could be wrong about something as crucial as this, I could be wrong about anything. So it just made me reevaluate sort of all the decisions I'd made, and maybe I really don't like the Phillies. Maybe I'm really a Mets fan.
Do your children ever ask about their birth parents?
Janu has started asking recently. She, for a long time, would tell us that she was born from one of her nannies, that she was carried in the belly of one of her nannies. And we would gently correct her and say, no, you were born to a woman in China, and we don't know where she is, but that's how you were born. She started asking again more recently. She asked us where is the woman who gave birth to me? And the only answer is, I don't know. We tell her about circumstances in China and the one child policy, but she's not asking for a dissertation on China's birth planning policy. She just wants to know her story. And unfortunately, I don't have a lot of good answers to give her.
How important is it to you that your daughters learn about Chinese culture?
It's crucial. And it's okay with me if later on they decide they're not interested. As a parent, I'm always trying to think of what I'm going to be blamed for and what I can live with. Because I figure when she's 16, Jinyu is going to say, you dragged me to every Chinese cultural event, and boy, I hated that. Or she's going to say, you never took me to any Chinese cultural events, and why didn't you? And I would rather be blamed for the former than the latter. I would rather try to do my best to give her whatever culture and connection I can than to give her none at all. But the other thing that worries me is that I may be connecting her to a vanished culture, that historical China is not modern China. Being Chinese in China is not being Chinese-American in this country.
Do your daughters speak any Chinese languages?
Very little. Janu, when she came to us, was babbling in Chinese. And at night, she would sing herself to sleep with these little lullabies that someone must have sung to her in the orphanage, just beautiful little songs in Chinese. And that's gone now. When she first came to us, we tried to keep that language up. But it was difficult for us because we didn't know the language, so we could not reinforce what she was learning effectively. But also it began to feel too much like work, like another day of school for her, and she was sort of being pushed into this class and made to learn this language. So I'm hoping she'll go back to it. For right now, we're more concentrating on sort of cultural information and, mm-hmm. and historical and family information.
When you came home with your first daughter, after adopting her in China, you were angry about a lot of things. Tell us about some of the things that made you angriest and about what you did with all that anger.
I found having two daughters from China is a very curious place to live your life, because when we came home from China, I felt that I had been fundamentally changed as a person. Certainly my daughter had changed and been changed, but I felt that I had changed too, and that while I was aware of only this, no one else was aware of it at all. I was angry that my daughter had spent 2 years in an orphanage. I was angry that she had lost her biological family. I was angry that a system of orphanages had become normalized in China. And at the same time, I was so deeply and eternally grateful to the Chinese for allowing me to have this child. They didn't have to do that. They could have kept Jinyu for themselves, and they didn't. They trusted me to raise this child. So I felt I was in sort of this strange place between being very angry at the people to whom I was also extremely grateful to. And I find that really hasn't subsided, that sometimes the longer we have Jinyu and the more she blossoms, the angrier I get about what she was forced to endure as a child, and the more grateful I am to China for allowing me to have my children.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Jeff Gamage is the author of China Ghosts, My Daughter's Journey to America, My Passage to Fatherhood. He's a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer.